The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
For close to a century, women have more than held their own in the male-dominated industry of sports entertainment.
There's your winner, Mae Young.
Matt Mavens, like Mae Young, helped shatter the proverbial glass ceiling, inspiring generations who would blaze a path.
It's a blaze for sure!
Taking their preternatural skills to unprecedented heights.
All or nothing in the boots hole!
Leading to a revolution in the women's division.
What a sight! A groundbreaking moment! The celebration of a new era in WWE.
The greatest era of women's wrestling of all time.
Now, for the first time in history, 32 women from all over the globe take their rightful place in the spotlight, celebrating the legacies of those who have paved the way while showcasing their modern-day virtuosity. Tonight, these 32 competitors vie for all the glory, the honor, and the prestige of winning the inaugural Mae Young Classic.
WU2M proudly presents to you the Mae Young Classic. And here's your host, Paul Leeser, Harry Broadhurst, and Patrick Ketza.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Wrestling Unwrapped to the Max's coverage of the Mae Young Classic. I am your host, Paul Leeser, joined by Mr. Harry Broadhurst.
Good evening once again, Paul. It feels like we just did this.
It feels like we've done this twice. and of course,
it's deja vu all over again.
Yes. And, of course, Mr. Patrick Ketza is with us as well.
Of course, the main event gets top and goes last, because screw you both.
Naturally, the top billing goes last. We are, of course, brought to you by W2Mnet.com, in association with 411mania.com, and last word on prowrestling.com. We can also be found anywhere podcasts are, basically Apple, Windows, Spotify, got tons and tons of places. So,
we're on Spotify? Sweet!
I believe we are on Spotify. Yeah, I think so.
That would be a surprise to me.
I know we're on Stitcher, iTunes, and now iHeartRadio, but Spotify's new. Sweet.
I think it's on Spotify. I don't know. I could be talking on my ass. Like we do on this show, we'll be covering the second round on this episode, which is episodes 5 and 6 over on the network. And we'll begin...
Age.
Yeah. We'll begin with episode 5. Which opens with Rachel Evers taking on Abby Lath. I really enjoyed this. There's a ton of energy in this match. I thought Rachel looked much better. And the exchange of strikes, I thought, was quite awesome. Abby Lath ends up winning this after a powerbomb into the alligator clutch. And, Abby moves on to the next round. And I loved Rachel in this match. So I thought she was... This is the Rachel everybody should have seen the first time around.
This is the Rachel that didn't have to work Marty Bell in this match, therefore was able to show everybody the Rachel Ellering/Evers that she can be. That top rope power slam was dope. If anything, I probably would have protected that with a foot on the rope. But, yeah, I had no real complaints about this match. I was thoroughly entertained.
Yeah, this is already, like... This was far and away, you know, a better match, especially for Rachel, because I was worried, you know, after what happened with the Marty Bell thing. I can't even call it a match. It was a thing. but Abby, once again, you know, shows just how damn good she is. And I also love the fact, and I'll give credit to the crowd at Full Sail for this one. I absolutely loved that there was a chant of Princess Abby. Mm-hmm. Kind of, you know, throwing back to her being Princess Kimberly Lee in in Chikara, but, you know, a new spin on it. So it seems like she's going to be embraced very much in the future. And this was, you know, one hell of a way to kind of kick that kind of a thing off.
Well, here's hoping she's embraced by the NXT faithful, because let's be honest, this isn't necessarily your regular NXT crowd, though. A lot of these people were outside fly-ins that are coming in just specifically to watch women's wrestling.
Very true. Very, very true. But even
trust me, I know.
Yeah, I know Patrick knows, but there's a lot of the NXT usuals are in the crowd. Like, you get to see Izzy and all that. She's not in your usual chair, obviously, but she's still there. I assume there's still a good part of the NXT crowd that's there for this. So I would wager Abby's chances of doing well on NXT because of her performance in this are very much on the up and up for sure. So that leads us to Serena Deeb taking on Piper Nevin in the next round. I really love this. This is a textbook small opponent versus a bigger, stronger opponent. And it's played out to perfection, if you ask me. Serena is wonderful. Piper is once again wonderful. And she ends up getting the win after reversing Serena's spear attempt into her Michinoku driver. Yeah, great stuff.
Me and...
Don't call... Oh.
Wait, what was that, Patrick?
I'm going this time. You went first last time.
Fine. By all means, princess.
No. Abby already wrestled.
Oh, boy.
I'll put it this way. Don't call it a comeback, because this ain't one. Yet again, you know, Piper showing what happens when you have pretty much nothing to lose, everything to gain, and you wrestle with one hell of a chip on your shoulder. I would say not quite as good as her first round match against Santana, but by no means was this a bad match, and... You know, I do kind of wish that Serena maybe had gotten one more round out of it, but at the same time, I'm completely okay with Piper winning this one and looking pretty damn good while doing it.
Mm-hmm. This is the only second round match that I got wrong. I picked Serena. You went 5-3, asshole. I'd shut up if I were you. Anyway. Back to my thoughts on this particular match. Hey,
Canyon Seaman.
Whatever his name is.
What a name.
Contract for this woman now. And by this woman, I mean Piper Niven. Oh my God, imagine if Nia Jax could work.
Yeah.
She'd be Piper Niven. Just, you know, without the famous bloodline.
It's true.
I will agree with Patrick in that I think the match against Santana Garrett was a little bit better. That being said, I think by no means does Serena Deeb have anything to be embarrassed about in her two performances in this tournament. She definitely showed that if she wants to go for a little bit longer and wants to be able to work with the women down in NXT, the WWE developmental staff, and specifically somebody that Serena knows very well in Sarah Amato, would be lucky to have her to work with the next generation of women superstars down there.
You know, and that is kind of something the NXT roster is missing. Its women's division is sort of a vet that they can rely upon and stick around for a while. If they offered the deal to Serena, do you think she could maybe find a place in NXT?
Patrick, you want to go first here?
I mean, if she was actually, like, booked as that person, kind of like Natalya is now on SmackDown, yes, absolutely. I mean, since we're obviously not going to get it with Sarah Amato or with Sarah Stock either, as they're both coaches, and Thea Trinidad is essentially being used as a manager for Andrade Almas, yeah, I mean, Serena Deeb could fit right into that role as kind of being the leader of the locker room a little bit and try and help guide the younger wrestlers. I think that would be a great idea.
By the way,
Harry, 6-2, jackass.
You did not make an official prediction on air for the Abby Lath match, so it counts as a loss.
You counted it as a win in the first round.
Well, I just wanted to increase my record over you. Still 7-1, scoreboard. Anyway, back to Serena. As far as Serena goes, in regards to your thought process as far as Thea Trinidad, Zelina Vega, or whatever goes there, Serena's a significantly better worker than Thea is. So it would make much more sense for me for them to put Serena in the ring with the younger class of NXT women down there in order to help them develop. And not even necessarily the ones that are currently on the NXT roster, such as Ember Moon, Nikki Cross, Ruby Riott, Billie Kay, and Peyton Royce. I mean the class of NXT women that we saw in this particular tournament, mm-hmm. like the girl she worked with in the first round in Vanessa Bourne, like Bianca Belair, like Rhea Ripley, like the potentially signed Toni Storm.
Lacey, I think that having too.
her work with the more underutilized women on the NXT roster, the ones that aren't necessarily getting recurring television time every week, I think that that would be the perfect step for Serena if she wishes to continue wrestling.
Because God knows that's the only way that Aaliyah would ever be bearable.
I think she's gotten better.
Yeah, not to mention, I think Aaliyah has that that Breaking Ground thing going for her as well. I think she made a lot of fans on Breaking Ground, so she still has some support.
Fair. After that one, you have Princesa Suhei taking on Mercedes Martinez. The work in this is fine, if you ask me. Mercedes does end up getting the win here with the Fisherman Buster. And before you correct me, Harry, shut up.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This to me looked like just they were kind of out there going through the motions, and that kind of took away some enjoyment for me for this, but the right person did end up winning out here.
Yeah, I don't have any kind of an issue with Princesa Suhei being involved in the tournament here, but at the same time, to me, it was a foregone conclusion that the Fisherwoman Buster was going to spell curtains for her running this tournament. GMSI, Patrick. GMSI.
Maybe to GTFO.
Thank you, Patrick.
The one, honestly, the biggest complaint I have about this is more has to do with the promo ahead of the match. When Princesa says that Mercedes Martinez doesn't have the experience that she does. Princesa, you have, I believe it was 22 years of experience. Mercedes has almost 20. So do us all a favor, shut up. You're looking at a match with the two longest tenured wrestlers in the entire tournament. Hell, they may have more experience than almost the entire rest of the roster combined. Yeah, this was not the big time Mercedes match that I think she's become known to deliver in. But by no means is it a bad match. But being that you have two most 20-year veterans here, you can kind of tell when they're just going through the motions, and this kind of felt like that. And yeah, it did deter me a little bit, but at the same time, them going through the motions was still pretty damn good.
Yeah, I was going through the motions, I still gave him 2.5, so.
Perfectly watchable wrestling. Mm-hmm. Or I believe the actual phrase that I've heard used before is perfectly acceptable wrestling.
Mr. Scott
Adequate.
Teeth. Yeah, I always heard perfectly acceptable myself, but
not good, not great, but not below average and not bad either. It was not. Who do I want to say here? It wasn't Piper Niven, Santana Garrett, but it wasn't Rachel Evers versus Marty Bell either.
True. All true.
It's not a bad match. It's not a good match. It's just a match.
Oh, I want to punch you so hard right now.
As somebody who has used that same quote on Wrestling to the Max before, I have no problem with it.
Quit taking sides, Paul!
Let's get to this main event, though. Kairi Sane takes on Bianca Belair. This was absolutely incredible, if you ask me. Kairi, of course, does get the win with the top rope elbow drop. And maybe the sloppiest one she's hit in the tournament so far, but even as wild as it was, she was crazy sideways and still crushed her with it. So This, however, was a match about Bianca getting to have a bit of a coming out party, and really, she did not look like she had only been wrestling for a year. I'll say that much. I gave this 3.5 stars. This is an incredible match.
This was a match that I think everybody and their mother knew had a foregone conclusion. The question was, how are we going to get there? Mm-hmm. Boy, did we have a way to get there, because Bianca, I never would have thought that she only had 1 year in. This is a very, very good match. I'm going to catch flack for this, and I don't even care. I still don't like Kairi Sane's elbow. To me, it looks like somebody that does not know what they're doing at all. And they're dropping an elbow off the top rope. I hate it. I think everybody knew Sane was going to win, but Bianca has an absolute hell of a showing. And oh dear God, that whip, a.k.a. her hair, just absolutely lays it to Kairi several times, to the point that it's one of those that it makes you squirm at times, mm-hmm. how well she connected. But I still do not like Kairi Sane's elbow. I really don't.
All right, three things to touch on for this match. The first of which goes back to our SmackDown Live review, Paul, and I said this when we were having our conversation before we started this, and that is, with that hair thing, a Mistress Bianca.
Yes, absolutely. Number two,
Patrick, I do believe your exact quote to me when we were watching when you were watching this match, because I watched this show a little bit before you did. Your exact quote to me when we were texting back and forth during this show was, well, who is this Bianca Belair, and why have I not seen more of her, correct?
Without a doubt.
Which leads me to my third thought. I have four words to describe this match. Bianca Belair, future superstar. Mm-hmm. More than holding out her own against the internationally known Kairi Sane Ni Hojo. This was Bianca's coming out party. And this was a match more about Bianca than it was about Kairi. It was a foregone conclusion that Kairi was winning, as Paul and Patrick have both said. How were we going to get there? Man, did we ever get there in spectacular fashion.
Yeah, the hair. I wonder what she puts in her hair to get to make that sound. Because if I hit somebody with my hair, it just goes. It doesn't make any sound. So what is she doing? And secondly, she left bruises on Kairi, which you can see in her next match. Which is go ahead.
If I'm venturing a guess, it's probably extensions with like rubber bands around it to hold it in place to make it firmer.
Makes sense. And like, I can't think of another woman that they've let do a 450 splash on air before in the WWE. I know they've kind of let Charlotte get away with the Sky Twister press, which is still incredibly impressive, but Bianca pulling out a 450 splash, I damn near got out of my chair. Like, that's incredible.
I do believe the official text that I sent to Patrick was, "Holy shit, Bianca."
Yeah.
And then
that was for the hair. Seriously?
No.
That was
for the hair. No, that was for the 450. The hair was, as you mentioned, the hair was cringeworthy to watch because it just sounded like it hurt like hell. Mm-hmm. The 450 splash was gorgeous.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Cleaner than the one we'll see in the next episode.
True.
Well, yeah, you mentioned in our first round episodes, you were questioning why they didn't let Mia Yim do the 450 in her match with Sarah Logan. You have your answer.
Yeah. So that's all for episode 5. We've been rating all these episodes so far. What are you guys going to give this one?
You want to go first here and I'll take the second one, or you want me to take this one?
Yeah, you go first. I've been going second.
All right. 7.5. The best episode of the series so far.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt, I'd say I'll agree with Harry there on a 7.5. This is, without a shadow of a doubt, the best episode. This is 5. I would say this is the one that you have to go out of your way to watch.
I'm going to make it a hat trick and give it 7.5 to what Patrick said. This is by far the best episode. Go watch all of these matches. They're wonderful.
Let me ask you this question here, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
we all heaped praise on Mia Yim versus Sarah Logan as the best match of the first round so far.
Mm-hmm.
Did this topic?
No, we didn't. No, we didn't. I didn't.
I picked Mia and Sarah as the best match of the first round.
That was you. I took Piper and Santana.
I believe I did too, but I rated that the same as I rated this at 3.5.
To me, Kairi Sane and Bianca Belair takes over best match of the tournament honors for me so far.
And that's very fair. I still think I like Piper and Santana a smidge more, but take nothing away from this main event. It is spectacular, for sure. Especially if you've been watching NXT and you've seen Bianca perform in the past. It doesn't even look like the same wrestler. It's incredible.
Yeah, there is nothing that you saw on NXT television from Bianca that would prepare you for this.
Yeah, it's just absolutely. And
Patrick, you still going with Piper and Santana as your best match so far?
This would almost be like a case of like 1 and 1.1.
Yeah.
I will still take Santana and Piper, but you know, like I just said, my 1.1 would absolutely be Kairi and Bianca, because just one hell of a coming out party for Bianca Belair.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you guys more, and that carries us right into episode 6, which opens with Toni Storm taking on Lacey Evans. I thought this was good. I thought it maybe lacked a little bit of energy when it in an opener, but Lacey still looked good, and Toni Storm was her wonderful self as well, and Toni takes this away with a strong zero.
I mean, you can almost sum this up as dead ass dough.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Sorry. America.
Excuse me. Australia.
Australia.
JR, Lita, do me a favor. Shut up. It's an ass attack. It's not a hip attack. I think going into this, of the, I'll say, relatively unknown performers, you know, Lacey Evans kind of had the biggest story behind her and kind of was getting the most recognition. She's not bad. You know, I mean, Toni Storm blew her out of the water, but, I mean, a storm. I think Lacey did get overshadowed, though. And I'm not saying that Lacey, you know, is going to not be a good wrestler or anything like that by any stretch of the imagination. I love the gimmick, you know, and she's coming along very well. Bianca just blew her out of water in both of their two matches. I'm intrigued to see what Lacey can do in the future, but I feel like Bianca should have gotten the bigger push out of this than Lacey.
I think you can make the argument that Bianca did get the bigger push out of this than Lacey by having the opportunity to wrestle Kairi. As good of a wrestler as Toni Storm is, and I will take nothing away from her, I have been absolutely super impressed by her in this tournament here. And she would get even better in the quarterfinal match, and then especially in her semifinal match as well. Spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, sorry. Didn't think that one through before I started to say it. By the time I had started, it was too late to stop.
Way to go, Harry.
Yeah, well,
like our show.
If they're listening to this, they've probably already watched the tournament.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, and if not, again, sorry, my bad.
Send all emails to Sean.
Yes, as has become the recurring line on Wrestling Unwrapped. Please send all hate mail to s.garmer@gmail.com. But yeah, Toni definitely gets the opportunity to showcase more of her personality as the series goes on. But when it comes to a battle between Lacey and Bianca, I think Bianca had the opportunity to step into the ring against the much bigger, much more known name in Kairi Sane, and that's why she was able to have the standout performance. This match right here was good. It was not nearly as good as Bianca and Kairi was, but I don't think that Tony's as good of a worker as Kairi is either.
That's a tough call. I really like Toni Storm. I've gotten to see a lot of her work. I just think it was two different matches, right? I think the other one was geared to make Bianca look like a star, and this was geared to be an opener. I think that's just how it was.
And that's a fair assessment, I suppose.
Yeah, I think so.
After that, we get to see Shayna Baszler take on Mia Yim. I really enjoyed this. Shayna ends up getting the win after catching Mia Yim's very off-kilter 450, and that might be putting it politely, and turning it into the rear naked choke. This is a great sprint, if you ask me, all the way up to the finish. There's a lot of focus on the two different horsewomen factions at ringside, too, which we can talk about later, because we get to see their interactions in a later episode, but we can talk about it here if you guys want to. All right, fine, let's just talk about the match, then.
Oh, I'm up first here. Okay, I like Mia. I really do. Shayna's been Shayna from what I've seen so far. I don't think there was any question, given the entire focus that was put on the four horsewomen, that Shayna's going to go far in this tournament. Mm-hmm. But that being said, of the two of them, I was much more impressed by Mia's in-ring work ethic, and I think that has to do with the fact that I've seen a lot more of Mia as well. She's very familiar to this side of the country, even though Shayna going in was the AIW Women's Champion. Mia was somebody else that had held that title as well, and somebody who I had the opportunity to see firsthand defend that title. So I had more of a personal connection with Mia, so I was kind of hoping to see Mia do better in the tournament than just going out in the second round. I'm really hoping Mia gets a deal out of this, though.
She's absolutely a star waiting to happen, if you ask me.
And not to mention, look at all the positive publicity that she can bring with her put a nail in it campaign that she's doing with domestic violence. Mm-hmm.
Safe Horizon, most specifically.
What he said.
Great addition, Harry. Yeah.
That's why they pay me the. That's why they pay me the no bucks.
It's true.
Only what you deserve. I mean, what?
Let's talk about the damn match, sucker.
This one gave me trouble because, all right, I don't want to mention it, but I'm going to have to. Yes, I'm friends with both of them.
I'm friends with the wrestlers.
Yeah, right?
Get out to more shows, Harry. Anyway.
Chicago's
anyway,
a freaking ride from here.
Anyway, I was hoping Mia would win. I had a hunch, you know, that it wasn't going to happen because of how strongly Shayna is, you know, being portrayed here. It did leave me a little bit unhappy. Yes, it was, you know, a very good match. It was a sprint. But to me, it feels like the point of Shayna being in the tournament has nothing to do with Shayna being in the tournament. Mm-hmm. Shayna is not there to be the anchor. She is there to be a representative. Mm-hmm. And I'll talk about it probably when we get closer, but more in the quarterfinal match. But it seems to me that it's becoming fairly obvious where this whole thing's going to go. I wish Mia had more time in the tournament. But it was good to see she at least have to take a little bit of offense, even though it really wasn't much. But I like Shayna. I would have preferred to see Mia, though.
I'll be much more willing to retouch on this as we talk about Shayna as we go on through our coverage of the Mae Young Classic, because at this point, your assessment is absolutely correct, because there's so much focus on making sure they're getting Charlotte, Bayley, and Becky into shots along with shots of Ronda and the rest of the horsewomen whose names are escaping me right now, unfortunately.
Marina Schaefer and Jessamyn Duke. Schaefer and Jessamyn Duke.
Yeah, thank you. They're getting them in as many shots as possible. And while they're doing this match, and they'll continue to do that at least with the four horsewomen of MMA throughout. But this match very much seemed less like it was focusing on what was going on in the ring and more about the situation going on between those two. Which Shayna Baszler, after she wins, absolutely goes up to the four horsewomen of NXT and sort of gives them a little how do you do before walking off. So
Well, the three horsewomen of NXT, Sasha was on a European tour, but your point still remains in the fact that she got up in Bayley, Becky, and Charlotte's faces.
Right, right. And once again, like I said, we'll touch on this later as well. But for now, we need to talk about this next match as Rhea Ripley takes on Dakota Kai. And I enjoyed this one as well. There's a lot of great strikes, as you would expect, mostly kicks. And Dakota Kai ends up getting the win with the double stomp after Rhea tries to recover after falling into the Tree of Woe. And I don't know if you need it. Go ahead.
The Tree of Joey Lawrence. Whoa.
God.
Well, it's kick him it out is, of this call now.
It is only fair that we paid tribute to Dave Prazak by using that line.
No. I guess.
There are better ways to pay tribute to Dave Prazak. No.
I don't know how much you need to see of Rhea Ripley to know that she's going to be a star. She needs to be on NXT.
I've seen enough.
Very soon, if you ask. I think she's got all the pieces already to be something great.
I think it's Patrick's turn to start here, so I'll save my piece.
Hallelujah! Was this one so much better? Both of them I felt looked great. Did seem a little sluggish. I think that might be Rhea kind of not used to maybe working so often, even though, you know, I believe two matches in two nights, while Dakota's just like, yeah, this is normal.
Yep.
come to Shimmer and yeah, you'll know that's normal. But I thought this was miles ahead of both of their first round matches. I'm glad to see that Dakota won, and you know, I've always said that I thought Dakota may have been one of the top signings when they had that mass signing. Mm-hmm. I could very well be wrong, but I'm still intrigued to see like how much further, especially in the next, because she's going against Kairi Sane. You know, how good is she going to look, and how are things going to look for her prospects in the future?
Go ahead, Harry.
Oh, no, go ahead, Paul. If you had something to touch on with what Patrick said, go ahead, and then I'll give my thoughts.
I can't remember if I covered this during Dakota's first match or not, but to me, she really has all the makings of being the Bayley character.
Yes.
Just somebody who, as talented as Bayley is, Dakota Kai, to me, is just a much better wrestler in between the ropes, if you ask me, but she has all the same hallmarks of being that same character if they so wish to do so.
I'm about to hit you with a very bold prediction.
Fire away.
Okay,
shout out to my boss over at the Raw Reaction. Anyway, if given proper time to develop, and obviously there's still a ways to go, she did very well here. Rhea Ripley has a chance to be the next Trish Stratus.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because she has the look, the buxom blonde look that men go crazy for. Mm-hmm. And I would argue at this stage in her career, she is a better wrestler than Trish was at this stage in her career. Right. And she will have nothing to do but get better working with the likes of Norman Smiley, Sarah Amato, Fit Finley, and everybody else. Robbie Brookside in the NXT Performance Center. I mentioned the fact that I thought Bianca Belair is a superstar in the making. I think the same could be said for Rhea Ripley as well.
I really don't think you're wrong on that count. Rhea Ripley, like I said, she already looks like she has all the tools. She could be on NXT at the next set of tapings. I really just want to see her every week to watch her develop and turn into this person who we think she can be. That's one of the reasons I'm going to plug New Japan here, even though that might piss you guys off. But that's one of the reasons why I enjoy watching the Young Lion matches so much from New Japan, is you get to watch them develop over time. And that's something that's so great about watching NXT too, even though it's evolved into something greater. Rhea, for sure, is somebody I would just love to watch every week. I don't know if you guys want to touch on that, anything. So, Just not. Main event time. Nicole Savoy takes on Candice LeRae. Nicole, back to her usual shenanigans in this, if you ask me. She kicks away Candice's hand at the start. I think she looked much better in this match. And Candice was the right opponent to do what they wanted to do with this. It just never really clicked for me. It was slow, and it never really picked up anything before Candice gets the win with a wild ride.
Disappointing performance from Nicole Savoy in this tournament. Candice, I think, had a very good first round match against a relatively unknown commodity. Mm-hmm. Whereas Savoy was made to look like something of a fluke victory for Nicole Savoy in her opening round contest.
Yeah,
this did nothing to change my perceptions of the way that they booked Savoy in this tournament here. And despite the fact that they said that Savoy is somebody that they have been keeping their eye on for a while, Patrick mentioned it as well when we did our bracketology review as well. I hate to say it, but she didn't come off as anything special at all in these two episodes.
I think this might come up as a case of you never get a second chance to make a first impression, and in this case, Savoy did not make the world's greatest first impression in her first round match. And then all of a sudden she goes from, you know, being the good guy to being the bad guy, essentially. While, I mean, who the hell is going to boo Candice LeRae? The match definitely seemed a little clunky. And I, you know, this was one that I will openly admit I got wrong. And I think my other one was the Toni Storm Lacey Evans match. I took Lacey Evans. I honestly think the wrong person won here.
Because disagree.
I think I didn't ask your opinion.
Too bad, I'm
honestly,
giving it.
I honestly think that her first round match wasn't great, and this one wasn't really that great either. I honestly think if Savoy had gotten the third round match against Shayna, rather than Candice getting the match against Shayna, the story that's going to be told probably won't be as good, but I think if you had put trifecta member against trifecta member, I think it would have been a hell of a lot better. Especially for Savoy. We knew that, you know, what was going to happen. But I think if Savoy had gotten that third chance, I think it would have been better. And yeah, I mean, despite the fact that, well, I'm almost done. I swear I'm almost done. Despite that, yeah, I know that she had been on their radar, and all of a sudden it just goes poof for Savoy. It mm-hmm. sucks.
Well, I mean, as far as the whole thing going with Savoy and Baszler goes here, based on the way that the Baszler's been booked as a Terminator throughout this thing here, and the other match of the other half of that particular bracket being the match that it is, frankly, I would have given Mercedes the advantage over Abby Leith in their matchup as well. I don't think they wanted to do that same story in back-to-back matches. Not to mention, if Candice LeRae didn't have a contract going into the Mae Young Classic, she certainly does now.
We don't know that. That's yeah. the thing.
I'm next to certain she walked out of Full Sail with a deal.
If you want to believe dirt sheets, there weren't a lot of contracts given out, and a lot of these, a lot of the women in this tournament are already obviously under deals. I like you, I wouldn't be shocked if Candice did walk away with one, just because not only is Johnny here, but I mean, I feel like she could do very well here, all these other things, and she had a great tournament. But
you can,
go ahead.
Which, just real quick, you can make the argument that behind Kairi Sane, Candice LeRae was the most over female in this tournament.
I would absolutely agree with you on that point. Absolutely agree.
Yeah,
with you.
There's no doubt there.
Yeah. I want to say this till we talk about her next match. So, we will just put a nail in that. Candice has a hug with Johnny to pretty much send us out all feeling warm and fuzzy, and that's the second round for us. So let's go ahead and review the episode before we wrap up round two here.
I was just going to say, I went first on the first episode, so this one's yours. My bad.
I would say not not as good as the first episode. I think the first half of the second round essentially blew this one out of the water. Not to say that this was bad, but it almost felt like a tale of two halves.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I can really only give a five. While there was quite a bit of good here, but I think there was a lot that wasn't as good, and it almost felt really weird to me how you could have the first episode be as good as it was and then follow it up with this. Why not just intersperse the two shows' matches between each other? So I'm going to have to go with a five here. And hope that, you know, all of the quarterfinals deliver.
I'm a little bit higher than Patrick here. I'm at a 5.5, as we kind of discussed with regards to Mercedes Martinez against Princesa Suhei in the first show. Perfectly acceptable wrestling. I think that pretty much describes the entirety of this particular episode, with, to me, the standout match on this particular half of the second round being Dakota Kai versus Rhea Ripley, and Dakota showing Alberto El Patron how to properly get into that corner caught double stomp.
Absolutely. I'm looking at about a 5.2, I think. The middle two matches were really good. I thought the main event and the opener maybe left you a little something to be desired, but there's absolutely nothing bad on this episode either. It does leave you wanting, and that's kind of unfortunate. So, I don't know if we really need to pick our favorite match of the second round, because I think we've made it pretty plain and obvious.
This one's a runaway.
Yeah. Maybe we should ask who had the best performance in this round.
That's still a runaway.
You think so?
I think the better question would be to ask who had the second best performance in this round.
All right, well, let's do
because to me, the absolute best performance in the second round was Bianca Belair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
The second biggest standout performance in the second round to me was actually Abby Lath. Significantly improved in her crowd interaction, significantly improved in the match quality as well. Not to say that the first round match was bad, but having the opportunity to go up against somebody that knew what they were doing in Rachel Ellering/Evers/whichever you want to use it. I think she's used Evans before on NXT television as well. Putting two experienced females against each other and giving them the 7 to 9 minutes that they were given to have the opportunity to put on the match that they went, I'm going to go with Abby Lath as my second best performance.
Taking nothing away from Abby Lath, but even though didn't really get a whole hell of a lot of offense, what she, I thought, looked very good. And aside from her finisher being reversed and it being kind of off kilter, I'm going with Mia Yim. I thought she was probably about the best opponent that they could have had up against Shayna.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, while, yeah, her 450 didn't exactly look the world's greatest, and, you know, part of that may have been she did it on purpose to get into the rear naked choke or the second half of the Kira Fuda driver. Bless you. Mia's dive to the outside, to me, you know, was probably one of the best moves the entire round. So, you know, while I get a whole hell of a lot, I thought what Mia did get was very, very good. And given the story that she also had behind her with everything that she's done with Safe Horizon, I thought she had a pretty damn good showing.
I'd agree with that. Just to sort of go the other way, much props, of course, to Bianca and Kairi for their match as well. I really enjoyed Piper's performance in this round as well. I thought her and Serena Deeb were marvelous together, and Piper looked phenomenal once again in this round. It really, I don't want to say maybe came out of nowhere for sure, but I think maybe probably surprised the most people for sure in her performances so far.
Yeah, me and Patrick were talking about the shows as he was watching to catch up there, and me and him both agreed that finish was fluidly done, too. It looked awesome with Serena going for the spear, Piper sidestepping and then scooping her up immediately into the Michinoku driver.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I can't say enough good things about Piper's performance so far, and I think, like I said, I think she's maybe wowed the most people for sure out of everybody that's still alive in this tournament. Maybe except for Rhea Ripley or Bianca, but that's besides the point. So, I hate to say maybe most disappointing, because I think we all have the same answer there too, but maybe we should just go ahead and get it out of the way.
To me, the most disappointing performance in this tournament thus far out of the people that were participants in this round is Nicole Savoy.
Mm-hmm.
I expected much more than what we got out of her in this tournament, and I think a lot of that has to do with the way her matches were put together.
I'll say this, at least we got suplexes in this match.
We take it, yeah. Suplexes.
quite a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
For me, Mercedes. And I'm saying that as somebody that absolutely loves Mercedes. Like, you know, we said that it was perfectly adequate, but you're talking about a person who, when the bright lights are on and she has to deliver, she delivers.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, the lights are in her career, maybe will never be this bright again. And while, yes, she did pick up the win, but the match itself was kind of adequate. It shouldn't have been just adequate. It should have been damn good.
Mm-hmm.
I put that more on her opponent than I do on Mercedes, to be frankly honest.
I don't have a ton of experience with Princess Suhei as far as watching her matches, but she still looked about the same as she did in her match with Kaylee Ray, where she was still... She just looked a step slow. And
clunky.
Yeah, clunky too. And maybe it's just the style mismatch, and she's used to working a different way, and she had to completely change that, but it...
Mm-hmm.
She just... It didn't really fly in either match for me. And it's not like they were bad or anything, you know? It's just... They weren't great, but I'm going to take Harry's side on this one. I think Nicole Savoy definitely had the most disappointing tournament, and it's not her fault. I absolutely agree. I think it's the match makeup and the way they went about presenting her in this just did her no favors right out the gate, and that's a real shame, because no, she's a great talent. I enjoy her matches a lot in Shimmer. So, well, unless you guys really want to get into anything else about this round, we can call it an episode here. So if you guys want to plug, feel free to do so.
Patrick,
I'm almost afraid of what to plug just because of timing. so, yeah, if you look at our Spreaker feed, the most recent one that we have done is ECW Heatwave 98. That is going to be fixed very soon, and very soon, hopefully by the time you guys hear this, we will have WCW Road Wild 98, SummerSlam 1998, and our newest recorded episode, as we mentioned earlier, Rise 1 Ignite from this past November at the Berwyn Eagles Club. All three of those should be up very, very soon. We had some technical difficulties with getting the first two up there. So hopefully soon we will be totally caught up. And then this weekend we will be recording First Wrestling's WrestlePalooza 8 from the house that Prince built in Minneapolis, Minnesota, because, you know, First Avenue kind of is a thing in Minneapolis. So be on the lookout for that. We're going to have all four of them up very soon, I swear.
You can check out myself, Stephen and Brandon Biskobing as we present The Kickoff. Episode 2 airs tomorrow night. Should be posted to the W2M net page either late Wednesday, Thursday morning-ish. We preview week 2 of college football, week 1 of the NFL, make some bold predictions, and make fun of Steven picking Florida Atlantic to do something after they got absolutely train-wrecked in their first game. Also, you can also check out myself and Paul filling in for Sean on the SmackDown and 205 Live reviews that were referenced earlier as well.
Absolutely.
Wait. Florida Atlantic as in the one that Lane Kiffin just took over?
Yes. Oh, as in the segment on a weekly basis is going to be called All Aboard the Lane Train.
Oh boy.
Good God.
Because we are going to constantly remind Steven that he said Florida Atlantic was going to do something this year after they go 3-9.
Well, that should be a lot of fun. Like Harry said, we did SmackDown and 205 Live earlier today. They are up on everywhere we are, so you can go check those out. As what I do Wrestling to the Max every week with Sean and Gary every Monday and Thursday. That's Tuesday and Friday on the download. We talk about pretty much everything. WWE.
Congrats on the anniversary, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, it's 5 years for those guys. I got there to the party at about four, but it was really fun doing this last episode. So, we've been having a good time on that, and that next episode will be up on Friday morning. So, but that's gonna do it for this episode. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening, and we will see you next time around.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.